Welcome to Bar Fights with attorney and advocate Sarah Klein, taking on issues that matter and advocating for legal, cultural, and political change everywhere in order to protect children and vulnerable adults. Joining the conversation are survivors, advocates, lawyers, media personalities, athletes, celebrities, authors, wellness aficionados, and many more. Because bringing real justice takes a team of experts who care. Now, leading the fight is your host, Sarah Klein.
Welcome back, my sweet friends, to Bar Fights, to part two. I promised you we would get more of this man, Marvin Peake, author of Out of the Tunnel, an epic tale of battles, breakthroughs, and new beginnings. Mr. Peake, welcome back to Bar Fights.
Thank you so much, Sarah. It's an honor to be back with you. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. I have so many places I want to go with this. But okay. Something we talked about last week, I had a question for you. My question is, hearing about your story and how you had to survive, how did you not then carry this sense of hypervigilance into the rest of your life when you grow up having to just survive? You don't know where you're going to sleep. You don't know what you're going to eat. You don't know where anything is coming from. I can imagine, had to live, as you talked about last week, this very focused, hyper-vigilant kind of a way. How did you shed that? Did you shed that? Is it a good thing? Was it a tough thing to get rid of? Asking for a friend. Just kidding. Asking for myself, actually. What do you do with that?
It's a beautiful question. Somewhere, I believe, chapter two, where I had a very abusive older cousin just beat me up. And I'm just this little guy, he's a grown man. And I remember him putting me in a headlock and saying to me, "No one is going to save you. No one is going to rescue you." That was so pivotal for me as a child. The reality set in that no one was going to save me and rescue me. I had to be my own savior. I had to rescue Marvin. There was another time where I wanted my mother to stop drinking and be a mother to me. And she said to me, "The more you ask me not to drink, the more I want to do it." She says, "I will stop when I'm ready to." It didn't dawn on me until later on that me wanting her to quit was more about me than it was her. Mm. So having a dependency on something outside of myself to rescue, save, give me comfort was not going to happen. There's a freedom in accepting the fact that you're responsible for your life. I had to be the creator of my own circumstances. Now, you don't know all of this as a child, but when you are conditioned with those kinds of experiences, you know that there's no other way but to survive. There's no other way but to go and get yours. Now, some people resort to stealing and robbing and crime. That wasn't the answer for me because I knew that there was something better for me. Don't know exactly what it is, but I do understand that we live in such an abundant universe. And there's a source of all creation that I'm aligned to that carried me through every one of those harsh experiences to lead me to something greater and better at every step. Now, I didn't have a great acquaintance with happiness, but I learned to get a PhD in progress. And the more you have progress, the more you get closer to this thing called happiness. There were fleeting moments of it. So I learned to celebrate myself every time I made some kind of progress in any aspect of my life because no one else was going to celebrate me. There was no birthday parties. There was no Christmas. Really? Right? Who's going to give you anything? Mm-hmm. But it also helped me to be such a giver. Because I don't want people to ever have to experience what I went through as a child. And if there's something I can do about it, then I step in and make myself available to make a difference. Because when you open up and give, you are aligning yourself with the law of reciprocity, and the world, the universe, source cannot help but to return back to you what you're putting out. When I got a hold of that, Sarah, I utilize that every step of the way. The more I give, the more keeps coming back. The more I give, the more keeps coming back. It's just as easy as our breathing. There is no exhale without inhale. It is the same coin that has different sides. You sit and you understand that what comes to you is may not always be for you. It may be for the benefit of others. And everything else that's out there, it is for the benefit of you. But if you can keep that cycle going of giving and receiving, growing, getting involved, getting engaged, things open up for you. You start to see more of the progress, you celebrate your progress, and then you become the greatest coach ever because you are that standard and that standard bearer. You're not just there talking to people, telling them what they should and should not do. They can see it by your example. You know, I want to say this, and this is not off subject. I talked about the last time I was with you, that I wanted to be an athlete. So, LeBron James, wonderful basketball player. He is recognized the world over. But that dear man has the tendency to promote himself as the greatest ever. And I get a little bit irritated with it, and I talk with Michael Jordan about it when we were in Paris. Michael said it doesn't bother me at all. Not one bit. You know why? Because he's Michael Jordan. What he was able to accomplish in front of the world, that's why he's recognized as the greatest ever. He doesn't go around putting crowns on his head, promoting the fact that I'm Air Jordan. We all know it. But our friend, we will call him friend, I don't know him, he loves to promote himself as the greatest ever. It is evident. See, I don't have to tell people. I didn't never wanted to tell this story, my story. I never wanted to tell people about all the successes that I've had in my life. They now know it because it's in the book, because it's evident. When I walk in a room, you know Marvin is there without me having to promote myself. That's when you know that you are self-sufficient, independent. You're self-validated. You take it or leave it alone. This is it, baby. This is who I am. I learned that as a child by folks not helping me, by not supporting me, and by my abusive cousin telling me, nobody's going to rescue you and nobody's going to save you. So, whoever is listening out here looking for someone else to change their behavior for your life to be better, you've balked over your power to someone who should not have it. Because if you don't take responsibility for your own life, then it never changes until the people change, and they don't have to change just for you. They can remain the way that they are because they're fulfilling their own life's curriculum. And if they stay that way and you use them as an excuse on why you are in those conditions, then you'll stay right along with them rather than saying, thank you, I can take it from here. But you have to have that kind of tenacity, that kind of drive. That despite you are the way that you are, I'm going to handle business. There's a story in my book where I started out in business and I need help and I need partnership. You might have read this. And I'm asking this man who had this huge organization and he's getting hundreds of millions of dollars. And all I wanted from him was a support letter so that I could get funding for this new organization that I'm building. And he said to me, he said, Marvin, I can see that you're going to be huge. You're going to be big. I can see that in you. He said, so for that reason, I am not going to help you. Because if I help you, you're going to be bigger than me. So he was in competition, even though he had hundreds of millions of dollars, he had the White House behind him. And I'm just little old Marvin just wanting to get a start. And it angered me that he said that. And I grabbed him and I said, "Look, let me tell you something right now." He's a grown man. And I grabbed him. I said, "Either you help me now or you come to me for help later." He jerked away because I knew that I'm going to ask you one time. It's your choice to help me, but I will not beg you. I will not ask you to change your mind and change your life to support my intent and purpose because I'm going to be taken care of. I've already gone through everything that you can imagine, and there's nothing life can throw at me that can defeat me. I'm playing with house money, baby. I can't lose. I'm already on the other side of this. Everything else is gravy.
I got the biggest smile on my face every sentence. I want to stand up and give you a standing ovation. I see why you're a world-renowned speaker. I get it, Deepak Chopra. I get it. I get why these people love you. Oh my gosh. You know, I record these podcasts. I never listen back because I was there, right? This one, I'm gonna be putting on, doing my little power walking around my neighborhood, taking note after note after note. Oh my gosh, so good, Marvin. So good. And I have a lot of survivors that listen to this show that need to hear this, that need to, at some point, realize I am back in the driver's seat. Don't need to live as a victim for the rest of my life. I can take control. I can choose happiness, and what I put out in spades is going to come back to me. Thinking about just some tiny baby steps that listener right now can employ in their lives today, tomorrow, the next day. You know, you've given us so much good stuff, but what would you say to that person who's down and out, feeling victimized, and needs to be able to start to really make this shift? What are baby steps for that person?
Absolutely. One of the things is what you can control.
Yeah.
See? So, my big brother Tony always talks about it's not about the resources, it's being resourceful. So we live in such an abundant universe, and there are resources all around being able to tap into what's available to us. Now, I didn't have a home and a bed and a family, but I was resourceful enough to go sleep in a car, right? It's not desirable, but I get through the night in a building, on the side of a building, meeting a friend who works at Wendy's and eating those big greasy burgers every day, right? Now, to simplify this, I'd become extremely successful in building this empire. And I was under attack, and everything just went crashing down. And what I had done before to get what I had built up was not working. What are the baby steps that I had to take to get myself back? Well, I can start by being grateful for what is here. May not be exactly everything that I want, but I'm grateful for my health and strength. I'm grateful for the sun that shines upon me, the air that I breathe, and the water that sustains me. I have a bed left. I'm grateful for this bed. And I'm going to show how grateful I am by when I get up, I'm going to make this thing. Right? If there's running water, I'm grateful. I remember a time not having water to wash my body. I'm grateful for this water. So we're staying in a state of gratitude. There was someone who said once, "What you appreciate, appreciates." Because we have a language that is being spoken in our universe that is not English, Spanish, Russian, French. It is vibration. How I emotionalize what my intent is, how I want to feel. I actually put these actual steps, by the way, in my course, the Ultimate Empowerment Program, the 7-day course, Experiential Guide to Success and Empowerment. And I talk about how you visualize, how you emotionalize, how you vocalize, how do you harness magnetism. But it starts with those little steps. Little steps like now, when I'm meditating and praying, instead of asking something for myself, How can I be of use to make a difference in someone else's life?
Mm.
How can I share whatever is given to me to someone that the universe, now God, source, or whatever we believe, can return back to me, replenish me for what I'm putting out? How can I look at the thoughts that are coming to me and shift my thinking to what would align to my intent and purpose to make me feel better? See, because every thought carries a chemical or creates a chemical. Those chemicals come into the body. And if it's going to be a poor me all the time, which we know is a control drama, getting people to feel sorry for me, that's not going to change it. Because just as Big Mo told me, I will tell your listeners, nobody's going to save you. Nobody's going to rescue you. So the thought that you're having, shift the thought into gratitude, into peace, into love, into abundance, into prosperity. The fact that you're able to breathe natural air that keeps you alive. Because if you didn't have the breath of life, what does it matter anyway that someone took from you or stole from you or kept you from something? If you could not breathe, what does it difference does it make? The fact that you can sit, breathe in and consciously breathe in and say thank you. See, I heard once before, and I say this quite a bit, how we live our life is our gift and our gratitude to God. So every time we complain and whine and make excuses, playing the blame game, we are not giving the kind of gift that God is giving us every day. We are not showing gratitude for what is given to us, because something is given to us every day that we could not give ourselves. So where is the gratitude in that? Where are we reciprocating the fact that the sun shines on us, regardless of whether we're doing the right thing or not? In every other element that is in the universe, we are a part of that. We have a responsibility, a duty, an obligation to share the goodness that is given to us out into the world. And we stop first and foremost by complaining. Stop the complaining. Give up the complaining. Eradicate yourself, emancipate yourself from complaining, and shift that thought and those words and those feelings into what it is that you desire the most. If it's relief, then you exercise relief in your thoughts. When you breathe in relief. I'm not breathing air, I'm breathing relief. I'm exhaling relief. I'm not drinking water, I'm drinking relief. I'm not eating food, I'm eating relief. You see? The sun that's shining on me that feels good right now, it's not the sun, it is relief. Because God, universe, source, does not give us necessarily what we need and want. You only get what you are, what you practice. If your discipline is relief, you become relief. Like unto itself is drawn, and energy seeks its own kind. Be relief so that you can experience more relief. That is your gift and your gratitude back to God. Take small steps that are before you. If you need to clean up things, don't keep a mess around you. Clean it up, organize it. It doesn't matter whether somebody's coming over or not. If you got a messy car and a messy trunk, clean it up. Bring order around your life, because the first law of the universe is not attraction. You hear people talk about the law of attraction all the time. It's not attraction. It is order. It is motion. Things are moving around. Put some order to the movement. The second law is attraction. You can't attract something that's already in disorder. You may not be able to control what the bank does, what the job does, what your spouse does, what your children are doing, your neighbor is doing. You don't have control over that, but you can control the order that's before you. Make your bed, clean your house, clean your car, clean your neighborhood, right? And
I
then
think
go
you need
into
to
that
talk to my
state.
kids.
Right? You
Oh my.
start them off young. So Sarah, you think there was just junky people around me. Bless my mother, rest her soul. It's junk. And I grew up around just filth.
Yeah.
But I had this disdain for filth. So I wanted to clean up where I was going to be. If I was sleeping outside, I'm going to dust everything off to make it nice and neat. That's how energy flows. You
Yes.
got to give it space, not
Yes.
congestion. Take the clutter out of your own life. Just simple little things. Make that a prayer. Make that a mantra. Make that your meditation. Cleanliness is not only next to godliness, it is godliness.
Wow. I'm literally in awe of you, and I'm going to listen to this 4,000 times now. I was thinking, I'm losing. See, I warned you I was going to lose my train of thought at some
Oh,
point. No,
sorry, I just go on
I
and
got some. I got. Oh, I was thinking about it. Okay, I got it back. I was thinking about you hear these stories about people, and you're obviously one of these people where you encounter them in a room in person, and people say, "Oh my gosh, I just felt his energy." I've heard it said about, Sean Penn. I knew a girl that was in a coffee shop and was like, I didn't even know who it was, but his energy. I've heard it said, strangely enough, about Bill Clinton had that charismatic energy. Like this energy of walking in a room and being on fire, being lit up, being just, I think what you're saying, like vibrationally electrified or something in a way. And like we think about the people, Oprah is another great example that I've heard where you walk into her space and you feel her. And I always wondered kind of what is that it factor? And you use the word like magnetism. What is that magnetism? But what you're explaining, I think that's it, right? Like the people that are living like that and are living in this way where they're, breathing in the good stuff and breathing out the good stuff. They are literally energetically on a different field to the point that we might not be able to explain why we are drawn to them or connected to the, like that energy, but that's what it is, right? It's energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so we're governed by the soul. So, when people see a person that's full of life and energy, it's their soul that's connected to that, to energize them. Now, the thing that's important is that when you walk into a room and you walk into someone's life, you're going in there as a servant. We have more success in any relationship when we go to give rather than to get. How can I make your life better than it was before I entered it? Do you see? Everything that I'm thinking and I'm feeling, because we are inextricably connected. My thoughts, my feelings, my words, my exhale that you are now receiving. It goes into you. It begins to oxygenate your cells. It begins to impregnate itself upon your brain, your mind, your subconscious. You're now feeding off the vibration in me. And in every moment, I'm either creating life for you or causing death. And if I take the responsibility that I want to give you life and life more abundantly, then I have to make sure that I'm aligned with my happiness, my joy, and my power to bring abundance to you. Because I want to make sure that my presence matters. If my presence won't matter, then my absence doesn't make a difference. I have to make a difference in your life. I have to matter. How I'm showing, even if I'm just giving you an ear, when I'm hugging you, I'm not hugging you just to hug you. I want you to feel this joy, this love, this abundance, this prosperity in me that I'm transferring it into you. So when you feel that, I was like, wow, that's a different kind of hug. I don't want anything. I just want to relieve you or whatever it is that you are struggling with. I just want to enhance wherever you are in areas that needs to be enhanced. And if nothing else, I want you to know without me ever saying it that I got love for you and I've never met you a day in my life. Because you know what? You and I are one and the same. Without me, without you don't exist. And without you, I don't exist. So I have an obligation to see you not just as a reflection of myself, but an actual extension. What I do to you, I'm doing right back to me. Whatever is happening with you, it's going to happen right back to me. So my love for you is a love for myself. And if I can have more people to repeat this on our planet, we'll reach a critical mass where we can raise the consciousness to a higher tier of humanity, and we can move along the earth into its next dimension where we can have this thing that religious people talk about, heaven on earth, nirvana, the kingdom. You see, we do that with each individual and how we treat ourselves and how we interact with others. I don't want to come to you and harm you and take from you and add more pressure and stress on you. I come into your life to bring you ease with no strings attached, because you don't have to give me anything in return, because these elements that's constantly coming to me that I can't give to myself, it already paid your debt. Let me love you as I am. Let me love you as you are. That's what we're here for.
I am coming for that hug, Marvin, please. I am
Yeah,
coming in. Lord, they better watch out because there's a new girl in town who is coming for you and for your hugs. So you better watch out. I could talk to you all day. I know my listeners are going to treasure these conversations. And I know our paths are just beginning to cross. This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship, I hope.
Yes,
Thank you so much for being here. I adore you. I love you. And
thank
all
you.
of you listeners, we will see you guys next week here on Bar Fights.
Thank you for listening to Bar Fights with attorney Sarah Klein, taking on issues that matter. Please check out our website at barfightspodcast.com, Instagram at barfightspodcast, or Twitter at barfights_pod for the latest show updates and archives.